Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
What's going on, everybody? It's your man Chops. New episode of the Load Management Podcast. We got Adam out in LA, Zion here in New York. I'm at my apartment in New York. And we have a very special guest today calling in, CJ McCollum from the Portland Trail Blazers, host of the Pull Up Podcast. CJ, what's going on, man?
I'm just chilling, man. Appreciate y'all having me on.
We appreciate you calling in. Obviously, everybody's got a lot of time on their hands right now.
No problem at all. We just sitting here worldwide watching and waiting for any type of good news in terms of progress towards the virus and everything that's happening.
Right. I was about to say, like, what are you doing to kind of like fill your day? Obviously you have the podcast. You were one of the first NBA guys to get on the podcast wave, but like, what are you doing to fill your day?
It's interesting, man. I'm actually going to work out in a little bit, order some equipment, got some kettlebells in, got some more stuff coming. Day by day, got a little puppy. We fostered from the Oregon dog shelter, so that's been going well, an interesting task. I'm going to give her a bath today because it's time. You start to smell a little bit, but outside of that, cooking, going on walks, playing household games, a little bit of everything.
So, CJ, have you been, like the rest of us before this equipment comes, have you been doing the prison workouts, just a ton of push-ups, like air squats, just making do with whatever you have around the house?
You said the prison workouts. You gotta do a
prison. Hey, everyone's doing prison workouts right now.
Yeah, everybody's doing prison workouts. So you just keep doing your push-ups, doing your dips, doing your jump roping, essentially whatever it takes, honestly.
How many people tagged you on IG in the push-up challenge thing?
Too many. I responded like once or twice, and then it just kept coming. It's like overwhelming. To the point where, like, they would tag me in it, and I would, like, heart it and laugh and be like, stop it.
Like, you're not trying to do, like, 1,000 push-ups in one day?
No, I'm sick of it. I want to do push-ups at my leisure. I don't have to post about the push-ups. It's getting out of control. I think that we need to, like, post, like, a reading a book challenge or something. Like, so something that's more relaxing and laid back. Like, let's just chill out and read books.
But how many push-ups can you knock out in one set? What's your record?
It depends on my mood, honestly. I've definitely done over 50 before. But it just depends on, like, where I'm at. Like, am I training, like, combine training where I'm bench pressing and I'm doing all that stuff? Or am I just doing my normal day-to-day workouts? But locking them all out full extension, I could get over 50.
CJ, I just got to say, I'm from Cleveland, so... Two Northeast Ohio guys here. Speaking of push-ups, Browns quarterback Baker Mayfield did some push-ups the other day, and they were not very great, and he got a lot of flack for them. Did you see Baker's push-ups?
I haven't seen the push-ups, but I can't wait to check them out. And I think that's so social media. That's so us to make fun of someone for doing push-ups and quote-unquote not doing them the right way. Was his butt in the air, or did he just look very unathletic?
How are we feeling about the Browns right now, real quick? Because these guys don't want to talk about the Browns, but I got to get some Browns talk with you.
Nobody on this podcast, except for you two, cares about the Browns, but go ahead. Talk Browns football.
We got to. You don't understand because you're not a Browns fan, but when you're a Browns fan, there's a deep connection to this team. Man, and no matter what, we're gonna root for the Browns. So, CJ, how are we feeling about next year? Last year is over. How are we feeling about next year?
I think the future is bright. I don't know when it's going to get bright, but I do feel like we're in a position where we have the pieces. We have a quarterback who's learning and growing and going to get more familiar with his new staff and players around him. This is the year two of him, OBJ and Juice. We add Austin from the Falcons. We got a running back who's on a mission. One of the best running backs in the NFL. We're going to draft a lineman, probably the lineman from Louisville. So I like where we're heading, like the direction we're heading towards. Just more about being consistent. You know, we can't keep getting penalized every night and really hurting ourselves as we have in the past. And we tighten up some of that stuff. I think we can go 9-7 and potentially get in as a wild card.
There we go. There's an extra wild card team this year.
This guy.
If the Browns don't make the playoffs this year, I'm gonna cry.
Bro, they're not gonna make the playoffs. We know this. Y'all been through this. Last year, y'all offseason champs. This year, you're claiming yourself as offseason champs. We know what this is. The end result is, and Odell's getting traded before the season. You heard it here first.
No, Odell ain't getting traded, bro. That ain't happening.
That's happening.
Too early. We got to do at least 2 years, 3 years of the experiment.
Right? You can't just – it'd be dumb to trade him right now. That's CJ, I'm right there with you. The future is bright. We don't know when that brightness is going to come through, but the future is very bright. I'm with you on that.
Why don't we talk about how you had them in the Super Bowl last year, Chops?
Well, you know what? Like I said, Browns fans are irrational, so I did predict them to win the Super Bowl. I've already bet on them to win the next Super Bowl, so you know what? I'm an irrational fan. What do you want me to say?
You might as well just lit your money on fire.
Well, that's basically what I did last year. CJ, we got to ask, because you've been doing some social media stuff. You were on live on the NBA account the other day.
And here we go.
You made fun of Jamal Murray, and it took over the internet.
What exactly did I say again? I can't remember.
Hey, he was just reading the comments, but he said, they said, my pubes look like Jamal Murray.
Honestly, man, I was just reading the comment. I thought it was funny. I think a lot of people thought it was funny. My facial hair right now is looking crazy. I haven't had the hair in weeks. I think I'm going to string it out and see how long I can go. But, yeah, Jamal's my homie, man. He's having a great year. Shout out to him. He got paid. He got a lot of bread. Well-deserved. Bright future ahead for him.
How quickly did that move through the NBA group text? Both it happening and then both your IG Live moment?
I didn't think it was a big deal. You know me. I live my life and I don't really worry about what people think or how things are going to be taken. Like, if I feel something or if I want to say something, I say it and I move on. But I didn't really think it was a big deal. Like, I just read a comment. I was talking about my pop, kept it moving. And then it's so slow now because there's no sports that everyone kind of picked it up and ran with it.
Well, I was about to say, the reason it became such a big thing is because there's nothing else for people to talk about on any of these shows, you know? Like, Skip Bayless is talking about the Ray Allen LeBron shot today because there's literally nothing else for people to talk about. So I think that's why it kind of blew up like it did, you know?
Oh, no, it was kind of wild, too. You know, it was wild, too.
I'm trying to give CJ, you know, like...
Hey, I respect it. I respect it. I was cracking up. I was dying. So I'm a fan of it.
All right, Zion, we'll get Zion. Zion's just basically here because he went to Lehigh, as you did, CJ. And Zion's also a Duke fan, though. So obviously, man, there's some stuff there.
Man, I was a Duke fan before I was a Lehigh fan. So, you know, I heard of Lehigh because, you know, Lehigh beat Duke. That's literally how I found out about Lehigh. And, you know, it's a good academic school. You know, CJ knows journalism. You know about that.
A great academic school. Learned a lot. Great people there. Love the campus. Beautiful campus. Lifelong memories. And I've always hated this. I've always been a North Carolina fan.
Oh, nah. That's why
we're here for your Duke hate.
Yeah.
That's probably why you had to cook Austin Rivers like that. I respect it.
75% of this podcast right now on this podcast hates Duke. So, yeah.
You know, it's just something about the Blue Devils. But you know what? I got a lot of respect for Coach K. I know a lot of Duke players like Mason Plumlee, Austin Rivers, Seth. Although Seth is like partial Dukie because he started as one of the mid-major Warriors and then transferred there. So he's not like a cultured Duke player. G Trent only did like 3 months. So he doesn't bro, count.
Nah, they're still part of the Duke brother. Relax. Don't strip them.
I gotta bring what up you play? On our last podcast, Zion said that the Kyrie Duke team, if Kyrie doesn't get hurt, they go undefeated. How crazy of a take is that?
It's so long ago, I don't even remember. Were they undefeated with him playing?
Yeah. It was like the first 8-9 games.
So you think they were going to 30-something and all?
Yes, just because, bro, that team won the championship the year before, and they're returning everybody basically from that team, and then you add the best player in the country.
But you're also spinning a hypothetical involving a person that gets injured every 5 games. So there's no way in hell Kyrie would have stayed healthy that entire season.
But I
think Kyrie was good enough to take them to the championship and potentially win it. But I think they would have probably lost the game at some point, rivalry game. You know how that goes. You play on the road.
That's true.
Different environments. Like, I think they were good enough to win a championship, absolutely. But in terms of going undefeated, you know how hard it is to win every game?
Kentucky tried it.
Yeah, but like teams get lucky. They mess around, lose to Boston College in a row. You know what I'm saying? Never go to Florida State. You mess around, lose to Florida State.
It's true.
And that Kentucky team had a much better roster than the Duke roster.
No, they did.
It did. Look at it. Look it up. Way more pros.
Next topic.
I think this just proves that we all really – I think someone said today would have been the first round of the Sweet 16, so it really just sucks that – there's no March Madness on TV right now. Obviously, it sucks that there's no NBA as well. CJ, have you thought about – because Jared Dudley just tweeted that NBA players would need 4 weeks to ramp up before they start playing again. And this was in response to Mark Cuban saying he thinks before June you guys are back. Have you put any thought into how much time you would need?
Man, I'm not even sure, honestly. I know we definitely will need time. That's for certain. I know we will need time to – tighten everything up and get back in the swing of things. But in terms of how much, I'm not sure. I think it'll depend on how long we're off. Like, are we going to be off 2 more months, 3 more weeks? You know what I mean? Like that, I think all those things will kind of determine how much time we need. But I think he's on to something. We can't jump right into the playoffs. It'll be a little bit of tune up. Guys will need training camp, mainly because we can't even access gyms right now, depending on where you're at in the country. We've been discouraged to go to gyms. We've been discouraged to go to the practice facilities. So we're in a unique situation and position where it's hard to physically train outside of what you can do in your household.
And then it's another thing, get into basketball shape, right? Like actual game shape, right?
Right. And you don't want to risk injury or seeing someone hurt because of lack of movement, lack of work. And then they try to ramp back up to an actual game that's similar to like playoff atmosphere.
So what's your gut feeling on when you think we're going to have games again?
I don't know. I think it depends on the government. Being able to have more than, 50 people in a room on the court. You got both teams is 30 plus trained staff, coaching staff, that's over 50. So I think until we're able to be in an environment like that, we won't be able to practice, let alone have games, because you have so many people in the building, so many people in the facility. So it's really just depends on the government and how everything turns around. But if you look at China in comparison, how long it's taken them to kind of turn things around from the first case to now, the CBA still hasn't started back up yet, although players have flown back to China. We're looking at some months, depending on how the United States responds. And once again, that also depends on how many people are actually quarantined, how many people are actually going to stay in the house, how many people are actually going to not have gatherings and continue to socially distance themselves. All those things will play a factor for sure.
Like, I admire Mark Cuban's optimism, and he said, in recent interviews that he thinks mid-May seems feasible. I think that kind of seems ridiculous, and it would take a miracle for that to happen. I mean, it feels like June, mid-June, maybe late June, certainly July seems more optimistic, but are you guys, you and the rest of the Blazers and other guys you talk to in the NBA, are you guys all kind of the mindset that you're not going to be playing in front of fans for a while?
I'm in the mindset that we're in a unique situation, one we've never been in before, and you have to be prepared for anything. I think that's my mindset. I'm prepared for anything. In terms of a later return, I think that based on where we're at right now, you have to be open to anything because this is unlike anything we've ever seen. So whether it's 2 months, whether it's 3 months, whether it's jumping to the playoffs, I'm prepared for anything. And as they say, you have to prepare for the worst as well. So I'm prepared for the worst.
All right. Have you thought about the playoffs thing? Because I've seen people throw around like tournament ideas. Like you probably don't want it to jump to the playoffs because right now the Blazers are in the ninth seed, right? Like you want to keep playing, I'm guessing.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough. If we jump right to the playoffs, then you got to bite the bullet. Some will say you had 60-something games to get yourself in position to be in the playoffs. So that part of that is on us. But not being able to finish the season is tough. It's unfortunate, but it's out of our control. So you just got to kind of roll with the punches, live with it, and whatever they decide, I'm sure we'll have a bit of a say in how we go moving forward. But hopefully we can knock it out.
Yeah, definitely.
Chaps. I want to ask a few more schedule questions because there's obviously a ton of scenarios that could get played out here. So, CJ, say hypothetically the season comes back, you guys have playoffs through July and August, and NBA champion is crowned, you know, say roughly around Labor Day weekend has kind of been the most likely scenario. That means the NBA has to push back the offseason and kind of change up the calendar. You know, there's all of these hypotheticals that maybe the NBA in the future starting next season could start the year on Christmas and then, you know, have the calendar be changed completely. Where do you personally stand on that? Would you be all for the NBA, you know, drastically altering the calendar to kind of be the sport of the summertime and change up something that we've all been used to schedule-wise?
I'm not a fan of a Christmas start personally. I think it shifts the calendar too much in terms of summer league, in terms of the draft, in terms of preparation from teams, you know, trying to watch college, trying to figure out who they're going to draft, trying to get, you know, situated with that while still worried about the actual NBA season in July. But I think that it's something that they have to kind of decide and figure out. Like, is it something that just is postponed and happened for a year? Or do you figure out a way to get back to the normal schedule? Do you just change it completely and now that we're always starting on Christmas? I'm not sure, but once again, I'm not sure when we'll even be able to start up, so it's hard to kind of fathom a Christmas start in the future when we're actually just not playing right now. That's something we never thought would actually happen in years past. I think this is the first time the NBA has ever stopped midseason. It started late before, but it's never been postponed in the middle of the season.
What about the group text, though, when you guys are going back and forth? Have other guys said they'd be down to start the season later on and again, try and capture a new audience with the playoffs hypothetically going down in summertime, you know, in seasons to come?
We haven't really talked about it. The conversation we have with the NBPA are more so when are we potentially getting back in the building? What is the government saying? What do doctors believe is best for us? Just kind of going through that process. I think that's more so what we're worried about, health, you know, how safe are we being day to day? How safe is it for us to go back to the practice facility? When would it be safe for us to go back to the practice facility? When would it be safe for us to have practices and actually be in contact with more than six people, more than 10 people in a room? Those are more so the questions that I'm getting from guys and what we're kind of discussing. Like, what's the timeline on that? When do they think we'll be able to go to hot yoga at a public place? Like, that's more the discussions we're getting. When we'll be able to dine in a restaurant? Like, because when you can do those things, then you know you're getting closer to returning to physically being able to play in front of fans.
Yeah, 100%. Shifting gears a little bit, your most recent podcast, this caused a stir on Twitter. The five most unstoppable moves NBA history. You did Ginobili's Euro step, AI's crossover, MJ's fadeaway, Hakeem's dream shake, and Kareem's skyhook. Did you think that was going to blow up on Twitter like it did? And do you think that did you reconsider any of those once you saw some people chiming in?
I didn't think that it was going to blow up. It was just like a conversation that you would have with your homies, like, you know, sitting after dinner, you watching TV, you're like, yo, what's the most unstoppable move? And they gave me a list, and here's the unfair part about the list. The list had like 10 all-time moves. So there's some moves that weren't on there. Like the Schmitty wasn't on there. It had like a Shaq drop step or something. I'm like, drop step, like, I'm not putting that on there. there were some moves that just
didn't exist, like Kobe's pump fake.
Anything LeBron? Like I saw a lot of people tweeted about LeBron, obviously, but it's like, does LeBron? What's LeBron?
LeBron too. Like I'm from Ohio, but what's the go to? Like LeBron has a lot of moves. We're talking about moves that have revolutionized the game, like. Tim Duncan using the backboard has revolutionized the game, and it wasn't even on my list. So I just had to pick from what was basically there, and that's what I've decided. And I think that it was a solid choice. There's some other things that could have been added on, like Derek's one-legged takeaway, legendary. But once again, some things just weren't on my list.
But what's the top move of all time, in your opinion?
The top move of all time? Wow. That's tough. I don't know if I could just pick one. Looking at the game of basketball, there's just different eras. So you got the skyhook. You have all those different moves that we've seen from each era, and now like looking at the era we're in now, a lot of players have kind of put it together. Like James Harden's step back, like that's something that will be talked about forever. He's revolutionized and kind of helped the step back evolve, so to speak. So I think. As I'm playing right now, it's hard to just pick one move that I think is just like the greatest move of all time. But obviously, I think in past basketball eras, it was the hook, the jump hook. It was unblockable. There's a sky hook. There's the running hook. There's ways you could kind of revolutionize it. Early on in basketball, people doing drop steps into certain moves changed the game. Then Tim Duncan came and was the big fundamental, like all skill, finesse, pivots, pump fakes, glass action, hooks. He had everything. And then you got into like the more carefree era of Allen Iverson, where it's in your face, crossovers, pullouts, making guys fall, hanging the crossover where it's a borderline carry. And that was after the Tim Hardaway tween cross, which was like quick, aggressive, violent. He was breaking people off. And then you get into Jordan, where it was just everything you wanted and more. He had like the flashiness, sticking his tongue out, the post-ups, the fadeaways, the shimmies, the reverse layups. He had a little bit of everything. So I think there was just so many different eras where you could pick one player from each era that like, brought something that changed the game.
But in your opinion, all right, so you mentioned all those moves. I would say personally, I think Kareem's skyhook has to be number one because, I mean, Christ, Kareem's the all-time leading scorer in NBA history. And you named a few of the current moves. So if you're going to put one current move today, whether it's Harden step back or, you know, whatever, Giannis barreling over guys or, you know, Curry doing something, who has the most unguardable move in the NBA right now?
Most unguardable move in the NBA right now.
Clearly, I'm asking you so you can make some headlines for us.
Yeah. You're trying to get me. I don't know. I want to say, I don't know. There's a lot of moves that are hard to guard. There's a lot of guys that are hard to guard. Like, I don't know if Giannis just has one move, but he's very hard to guard. Steph hasn't played most of this year, but he's very hard to guard, has a lot of moves. Dame can shoot from 70 feet. You know what I mean? Like the game has been revolutionized. James has a step back that's hard to guard. He gets to the free throw line whenever he feels like it. So there's just – it's hard to just be like, this is the most unstoppable move. But there's a lot of guys who have something that's very hard to stop. But I ain't going to just say some such and such is like unstoppable.
Nah. I'm gonna put you on the spot here. Luka or Trey?
No, we got to get an answer for this because we need this answer.
These are the fun debates, you know.
Comparison is the deep of joy, man.
All right, long term, who you taking, Luka or Trey?
Completely different players. Completely different situations. One's in a playoff team. One's in a team that's not making playoffs this year. So you can't. You can't do that. I won't do that to either one of them. They're both very good all-star caliber players for a long time. I mean, you could flip a coin and pick one and be happy with either one.
Man, CJ, you copy. Right. Don't cop out on us.
You like that, right? You thought I was going to pick one. No, sir.
That's diplomatic. All right, but you know, the duo debate has been a debate for a long time, and you and Dame always laid your stake to it. Duos are, you know, now back in the NBA. So how are we feeling there? How are we feeling with the landscape of the duos and where you and Dame kind of fall in?
I think there's a lot of good players in the NBA. Oh. A lot of good players. A lot of good guards. A lot of good point guards. A lot of good shooting guards. Some good bigs. So, I mean, I'll just put it like this. I think I'm a very good basketball player. I think Dame's a very good basketball player. I think we've shown that we're good and we can take a team to a high level. I've been in the league 7 years. I made the playoffs 6 straight years. If the season ended today, this would be the year I don't make the playoffs, but I don't think I would count it because no one would make the playoffs. So, my streak would probably technically be alive. So I'll just leave it at that, man. We figure out ways to win games. We figure out ways to get the job done and have historically since I've been a starter full-time in this league. So I think there's a lot of good talent out there. And I don't compare myself to other people. I compare myself to me, like what my standard of basketball is like. There's a lot of guys who get it done in different ways, and I salute them.
All right, so let's ask you a question about a player you're going to actually give us an answer on. And we'll ask you about Carmelo and what Melo's brought to the table and brought to the team as a whole since he signed on with Portland, what was it, back in November?
Yeah. Damn, was it November?
Yeah.
It feels so long ago at this point.
Yeah, this season is a blur. But yeah, Melo's been great for us, man. He's a really good dude. I've known him since before he became my teammate, but obviously I know him a lot better now. He takes great care of his body. He's an ultimate professional in terms of his approach. Understanding of the game, obviously he can do what he does on the court. He can impact the game, but just more so his impact. You know, always being positive, as he says, he stays Melo. I think that's rubbed off on a lot of guys. And he's given us a boost. We were in dire need of a punch. You know, we needed a jump start, a kick start, if you will. We've gone through a lot of injuries, a lot of things that had happened. Even the game he returned for us in Milwaukee, I believe it was, or New Orleans first in Milwaukee, Dame didn't play, Whiteside didn't play, Nurk was hurt, Rodney Hood. There was just a lot of guys that were out with injuries, and it just kind of showed where we were at. And I'm glad he was able to kind of kickstart and come back into the NBA. I know he was close to retiring. It was a mutual situation to where he was able to get back into the league, and we were able to get a punch, a boost by someone who could help us right away and prove that they still belong in the league.
No.
How ridiculous was it that he wasn't on a team for as long as he was? And, you know, people really questioned, you know, how good Carmelo Anthony is at basketball. Like, people seemed like they were surprised that – he stepped right in onto the Blazers and, you know, played well. Like, he wasn't Carmelo.
Yeah, it's crazy. Out of sight, out of mind, I think people really forgot what he was capable of. I think the perception of who he was as a player changed. Obviously, the Houston situation did work out. Oklahoma traded him, waived him. I can't remember what happened with that situation. But I think people kind of forgot who he was. Like, he's not a Hall of Famer. Like, he doesn't have this huge body of work of competing at a high level, being an all-star, getting buckets, scoring a variety of ways, and helping teams win. So it's funny how people kind of just forget. Like, you sit out for a year and people are like, oh, he's this, he's not, he's not this, he's not that, he's not this. But it's like, well, he's been great at doing X, Y, Z for so long. He's not going to just forget how to do it.
And your knowledge of wine has just gone through the roof hanging out with Melo, right?
Yeah, he loves Burgundy. He has a strong liking to Burgundy. So I've, you know, put him onto some Oregon Pinots, a lot of stuff we have in the Willamette Valley. We've shared and swapped a lot of different wines. He's big on Burgundy, and now he's a fan of the Willamette. Willamette, the Chelan Mountains, all that stuff. We got some really good volcanic soil out here that produces some marvelous blends.
All right, so you really know your stuff right now. So let me ask you this, CJ. If I'm going to be spending 5 hours making a nice bolognese sauce on a Sunday, what should I pair my bolognese sauce with?
What should you pair your bolognese sauce with?
I usually go the Pinot Noir route, but if you got another recommendation for some red sauce, let me hear it.
It depends on your mood, but I would say with the meats and cheese, good girl. With the meats and cheese... Sorry, I have to, you know, you got to put your doggy voice on for the dog. With the meats and cheese, depending on your mood, I would start with maybe a rosé, especially if it's nice outside, rosé all day. And then switch over to the red, depending on what you want, probably a soft red. So it doesn't really change the texture and the taste of your pasta. I'll go to soft Pinot, something that's more light body, as opposed to a strong cab that will be medium to full body and really give you a stronger taste, and also probably more of a hangover the next day. So I would say go with probably, depending on what vineyard you like out here. You got Adelsheim, you got Soder, a Domaine Serene, you got Walter Scott. You have a lot of different options to where they can produce a soft Pinot for you. More specifically, probably in I would go for the 2015, the year 15. It's a very good Pinot out here.
There we go. Again, some nice wine recommendations. CJ, I got to ask. I was watching your interview with Chris Haynes, the most recent one you did earlier, and you kind of talked about how you unplug completely. 9 to 9, your phone is off. Only select people can get a hold of you. Do you find that that's something that a lot of NBA players do? Because that seems pretty, individualized towards yourself, like especially around trade deadline, free agency. You know, like you seem pretty unplugged when most guys say they're like, they got Woj notifications on, you know?
Right. But yeah, me and Woj are friends. I always told Woj, if you ever hear anything, you know, you just let me know. That's all I ask. Give me a little heads up. That's something has or is about to happen. But obviously during free agency, like I'll make exceptions. I'll add my agent to my favorites. But other than that, man, if something ever happens from 9 to 9, like I'll find out at 9:01. Like I'll find out at 9:01 a.m. or if I'm on my phone already, I'll see it. But I think that's just time to kind of get away, because we live in a world that's super, super hectic. There's a lot always going on. There's a lot of things that are in our control, a lot of things out of our control. So I'm trying to make sure that I'm in a happy place and really enjoying home when I'm at home.
That's good. You know, you always got to have a good homebody. I've seen you, you've been on social recently. It definitely seems like you're cooking for the whole household and everything. So it seems like you're taking the isolation in strides, and it's kind of what you're just into anyways, right?
Yeah, definitely. You got to make the best of circumstances and situation. I think this is a great time to kind of find your peace, find your joy, be okay with stillness, be okay with being in the house. Accept it, embrace it, and figure out how you can kind of build and take advantage of some other things that you may not have dedicated time to normally. I think this is the only time in our lives that we'll be in the house like this, forced to be in the house and not work and not do certain things, which allows us to have more time with our family, with our loved ones, to FaceTime. Like, think about how often we're FaceTiming family and friends now compared to
so much. I don't think I've ever FaceTimed before this started, like 3 weeks ago.
All right, now we're like living on FaceTime, like nonstop.
What would you do for a Swenson's burger right now?
Man, I love Swenson's. Down.
Adam and Zion don't know, dog.
Yeah, what, like, the hell Swenson's, are you guys talking about?
Swenson's is a burger place in Akron and Canton, Northeast Ohio. And it is better than Shake Shack. It's better than In-N-Out. It's better than all that.
That sounds like fake news to me.
Great description, honestly. Swenson's is legendary.
CJ, back me up. It's better than In-N-Out and Shake Shack.
Shake Shack. Ah, you had me there. But I mean, honestly, Swenson's so good. Sometimes I think about flying home just to get it.
Nah, you're wildin'.
That's real shit right there. I've thought the same.
I said I think about it. I'm not going to do it. I'm staying home. Staying out the way, but I've thought about it. Absolutely, I have.
But real talk, In-N-Out is absolute trash, right?
It's not trash, but I think
In-N-Out's not trash.
No, In-N-Out is trash. Come on, it's not.
It's
good.
Overrated. It's overrated. It's not trash.
All right,
it's overrated.
Yeah.
All right.
But yeah, I definitely got to revisit this, because this definitely affects me too. I mean, 2018, you had that little chat with KD. You know, all that little. Beef, not really beef there, but you know, discussion that, you know, when he went to
Katie's the homie, man.
I know, yeah.
I'm trying to make beef, Zion.
I'm not trying to make beef, man. This is family right here.
You can't make beef. It's like, think about it like this. You make fun of your friends all the time, right?
Yeah.
Especially if my friends are probably worse than what I say to my enemies because they're my friends.
But, you know, you voiced, you know, when he went to the Warriors, blah, 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 you weren't, you know, happy about it. But when he made the decision to go to the Nets, did that give you some relief of some sort? Because you definitely were bothered when he went to the Warriors.
I wasn't bothered, man. I just expressed my thoughts.
Bro,
like I said before, I was never bothered by it. I just said that I wouldn't do it if I was him, but I'm not him. So I can't, like, you know how you say, somebody asks you something and you comment on it, and then they're like, oh, well, you feel this way. It's like, these are my opinions. These are my thoughts. Hey, like, he can do what he wants to do. And he can go to the Toronto Raptors for all I care. You know what I'm saying? It's his life. But I think for him, he enjoyed himself in Golden State, obviously, me speaking from what I could see. Like, I don't know if this is true or not, but he won multiple championships. He won multiple MVPs. He had a great time. He got to see what it was like to play with probably one of the more entertaining teams in the history of the NBA in terms of the pace, the way they play, how they share the ball. It's almost like the Showtime Lakers in terms of like the crowd, like they sell out every game, the tickets skyrocket prices. So he got to experience all of that, see what it was like. And now he gets to go to New York and play in what is considered the mecca of basketball, just not with the Knicks.
But you're talking about KD. I'm talking about you. What was your reaction? Did you have some type of relief? Like, okay, now we could take over the West a little bit.
He said we could take over the West. I had a pretty good inkling. He was heading to New York. So I already, you know, was kind of think he's gonna go to New York. So
okay.
I think a lot of people were glad he left the Warriors. Like, okay, glad that's over.
As a Cavs fan, I was very happy.
Like, I think a lot of people were like, ooh, glad that's over. That was a long time. It's a long time. Like, they were just really, really good, virtually unstoppable with all those players, all that talent, all that shooting. Like, how do you guard KD, Steph, pick and roll? Do you switch it?
You tell us, dog. We never been on the court with them.
Like, what do you do? You know what I mean? So that was tough, but that's over with. And I think he's happy he's turned the page. He's with Kai. He's with DeAndre. They're going to have something special in the East Coast.
Does the NBA free agency talk bother you? Because a lot of fans now are like pushing back against, oh, why is ESPN only talking about where Giannis is about to go? They never talk about the games. They're only talking about free agency and that kind of stuff. Does that bother you?
No, I think we're like a soap opera. Where will he go next on this episode of whatever? Like, it's great for the game. People are really interested in movement. People love player movement. They love a Woj bomb, a Sham bomb, a Chris Haynes bomb, or whoever else drops a bomb. They love that excitement of change rapidly happening and going to the video game and going to the store and seeing players in different jerseys. People love that stuff. So I think it's good for the game. It's good for our sport. And it shows freedom of movement. Like, if you're a free agent, you have a right to go where you want. If your contract or term is up with Apple or Google or whoever you're working for, you have a right to go wherever you want. And I think that's what some people tend to forget. That, like, players have a right to do what they want, and I think it's great for the sport. I think a lot of fans appreciate it until it's your team they're leaving. You really appreciate it.
That's a good point. I think it's definitely interesting to hear from a player's perspective, because, you know, when you do watch a game and you do, you know, you want to watch Lakers, Bucks, and all they're talking about is Giannis's future, you're like, well, talk about the game a little bit, you know?
Right. No, I hear you. I hear you for sure. But that becomes the territory. When you're talking about arguably, you know, top three player in the NBA, it's going to be a big deal as to, like, where he is or isn't going to go. No matter who's playing on TV, they're going to talk about it, especially when they're playing the Lakers. That's one of the places he could go, right?
Oh, Woj CJ.
I'm saying, like, I'm not saying he's going to go there. I'm saying that people love that storyline, so whenever they do play, they're going to talk about it.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, like you said, it's kind of like the nature of the beast. It's kind of like part of the NBA culture now. People do love to – I can't tell you how many times I've tweeted the Cavs should trade Kevin Love for you over the past 3 years. So, I will admit that. That's probably the most popular fake trade in Cavs history. Have you seen that?
Bill Simmons. you and Bill Simmons are the ones that want me to be a Cleveland Cavalier.
I mean, come on home, dog. It worked out for LeBron. We can get back. Let's do it.
Ain't nothing in Cleveland.
You know I'm from Canton, right? You know I'm not from Cleveland.
Yeah.
LeBron's from Akron. We blend lines.
Bro, we need to cover this because everyone is not from Cleveland. Like, you just claim everybody from Ohio and just claim them as Cleveland. It's not the same thing at all.
No, it's Ohio. It's the brotherhood.
Well, I'm a 45-minute drive away, depending on how fast you drive.
Yeah, that's right. He's not Cleveland, bro.
Drive fast. I'm just saying, you know. You guys got to let me have this. The Cavs are likely never going to be good again in my lifetime. And, you know, so I just have to deal with that.
Man, you never know. They got a lot of young talent. Anything can happen.
Yeah, I guess so. CJ, before we get out of here, we do a weekly trivia thing. You down to do some Blazers trivia with us?
Sure.
Let's do it. Okay. First question. The Blazers entered the NBA in 1970. Their first ever draft pick went on to win NBA Rookie of the Year. Who was he?
1970?
Yes. 1970.
You know, I was born in 91.
What, 96?
The first ever draft pick?
Their first ever draft pick went on to win NBA Rookie of the Year. Who was he?
No. You say all day when you have a dog. No. Do I get like a list of like five players?
I don't even have the answer here, so I don't know. I was going to guess Bill Walton. That's who I was going to guess, but I don't know.
I was going to guess Bill Walton because they won it in 77, but the only statistic I know is that he won Rookie of the Year. I don't know anything else. Nothing else about his career?
I'm going to guess Bill Walton, too, just because everybody's doing it.
They won a championship in 77, so was that his seventh year?
No, Jeff Petrie is the answer.
Man.
I don't know that.
All right. Well,
He tied that year with Dave Cowens.
Oh, like Adam comes through with information as we all guess wrong.
As he Googles.
Yeah, right. Google cheer.
I did all Google right. That way, guys were pondering, so that's why I didn't chime in.
Okay. Well, this next one's easy. In the 1984 draft, Portland picked Sam Bowie over who?
Come on, bro.
You have to know this if you're a basketball fan.
1984 draft, Portland picks Sam Bowie over whom?
Michael Jordan, right?
Yep.
Oh, man, you said right. Don't add a right after.
Oh, I'm just thinking because we already had Clyde Drexler. We could have had Clyde and MJ, huh?
That's crazy.
Yeah, but the way rosters were built back then, you had to get the big man.
And KD, if you want to go to later in life.
Greg Oden was so nasty.
He was, but he was a 30-year-old in a 20-year-old body.
He was nasty.
Very good. Yeah. But Blazers draft history since then has been very good. You know, you and Dame. So we're good there. All right. A Browns one before we get out of here. After having no team for three seasons, the Browns returned to the NFL in 1999. What was their win loss record their first season back?
99, we made the playoffs.
No. 2000.
No?
No, 99 was bad.
The year off.
Yeah, 99 was bad.
2001 season?
Yeah, with Holcomb. Remember Holcomb?
Yeah, we had Holcomb. And is that's when we had, what's his name? The white running back. What's his name?
Peyton Hillis was much later.
We had Peyton Hillis much later. Yeah, that's right.
I don't even know. I think it's 2-14 their first year back. I don't even know. It was bad.
The Browns always suck. Wouldn't you assume it's an atrocious record?
The second year that they were back, they made the playoffs, as CJ said.
They're 3-13 probably.
I'm going to say 2-14.
Yeah, 3-13 here. That's about right.
Final answer, 3-13.
All right, let's see. 2-14, so even worse somehow.
Congrats, Chops.
You guys are such a joke of a franchise, man. It's amazing.
Don't do that.
Wow.
Don't do that.
CJ,
before we get out of here, you believe in Baker 100% because a lot of Browns fans have turned on Baker.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Why would I turn on Baker?
Browns fans on Twitter, I don't know how deep you get into the Browns Twitter, but a lot of them have turned on Baker. I haven't. I've stuck with him.
Hey, he's still young. He's still got time to figure it out. And I think he will. I think he'll figure it out sooner than later. I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to seeing his development. He's going to be all right.
Baker's mid. He's a mid quarterback. Daniel Jones is better right now.
You said he's a what?
Daniel Jones is a better quarterback than Baker Mayfield right now.
Right now.
Numbers don't lie.
Did Daniel Jones set the turnover record for a quarterback last year?
Nah, you're looking too much into that.
Oh, yeah, looking too much into a turnover record. Yeah, I got
you. Hey, Manning threw a lot of picks early on in his career, too. So did Brett Favre.
It's not even picks, it's the fumbles.
CJ, you are very correct. CJ, anything else you want to add before we get out of here? We really appreciate you calling in with us.
Hey, man, my Browns will make the playoffs next year.
There we go. That's how we end it. I love it.
Y'all delusional. Delusional.
I love it. CJ, Browns, thank you so much for joining us.
Playoffs, 9-7.
I'm gonna say 11-5. I'm a little more optimistic, but, 9-7, we can do that too.
11-5 is way too aggressive. Last year I said 10-6.
Oh, both of y'all said 10-6 last year.
I think I said 13-3 last year, to be honest.
If you look at this, if you look at the way we lost games, we could have easily went 10-6. The Raiders, that was just despicable. We had like three games where we missed field goals. Rams, we missed field goals. They called a late hit against the Steelers. It was clearly not a late hit on Myles Garrett. They called a late hit, roughing the pass.
Yeah. Yep. It's fuck Mason Rudolph in this house forever. I can tell you that, CJ.
Neither here nor there. You guys be safe. I'm going to go make sure.
CJ, thank you so much for joining us. Stay safe, man.
Stay quarantined.
Thank you. Bye-bye. All right, big thank you to CJ McCollum from the Portland Trailblazers for calling in with us. Adam, I thought that was really cool. He's obviously got a lot of time on his hands right now, so it was good to check in with CJ.
Yes, also A-plus job on dodging all the times we tried to corner him and to get him to say something truly, truly, truly ridiculous that would make headlines. But again, savvy individual that knows journalism and knows the game. He squirmed out of them expertly. So props to CJ for at least taking all the questions and answering some of them. But he gave us some really interesting answers, especially, Zion, when he talked about the KD relationship and kind of how that's materialized.
Yeah, CJ is called a pro's pro who will not let anybody get him, which huge tip of the hat to him on that. You know what? Another fun episode. I feel like we're getting into a good groove, even though we can't, none of us can see each other and we're all just quarantined and, dealing with this new reality. But I really like where this is going. And, we appreciate everybody listening, tuning in every single week, even when there's not sports on. This is a sports podcast with no sports. And we're just, trying to make it work and trying to bring you guys the best content possible. So we appreciate you guys. For myself, Adam out in LA, Zion in his bunker, wherever that is. Till next time, we'll see you guys. Of course, special shout out to our producers, Alejandro De Jesus and Jasmine Plata. Sound engineering done by Craig Clayton and Josh Dodd. Mixing done by Jasmine Plata. Our editor-in-chief, Damian Scott, shout out to him. Director of video operations, Jen Stewart. Load management is a production of the Complex Podcast Network.
Never forget that the Load Management Podcast is the number one sports podcast for your listening pleasure.
Want your most burning finance and investing questions answered? Here's a podcast you should be listening to, courtesy of Acast Recommends.
Are you ready for some personality in your personal finances? Hi, I'm Janice Torres Rodriguez, Latina money expert and host of the award-winning podcast, Yo Quiero Dinero. On this show, we're serving up POC-friendly personal finance knowledge, always with a side of sass. We're not talking about avocado toast and lattes on this show. We've got real, relatable personal finance knowledge that makes you feel seen, heard, and finally understood. Consider me your super cool, slightly risque, but always honest financial fairy godmother. Together, we'll tackle dinero in a fresh new way so you can finally become poderosa with your dinero. Check out our weekly podcast episodes at YoQuieroDineroPodcast.com or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.